I would like to say how it is Samuel came, but I'm not sure that I could explain that. I'm just really grateful for this opportunity. Samuel does rarely speak in front of groups since COVID. And the cool thing is he was very excited about doing this. I hope that he just hits the right spot for you. I will warn you, Samuel says over and over and over that the only people that he works with are people who are already awake, who are activated, and who have compacted to be here now to help the world elevate to a better planet. So even if you've never met Samuel, I bet you have. And most of the time when people meet him, they feel that kind of familiarity. I'm needing to tell you a couple of things. One of them is I am legally blind, which means I can't actually see you. But Jim is wearing a green shirt and Marion's wearing an orange one and Lilybeth's in black. I mean, I can see that. I can tell that these two have glasses on, but I think you do too, right? Okay. But I can't actually see your face, and the further back you are, the less I see you. But Samuel loves interaction. So if you raise your hand, Stuart, where are you, Stuart? Okay, we'll probably be the one to call on you. Samuel sees things I don't, but it won't help. I mean, so that. And the second thing is, Samuel's sense of humor is weird. And the friends who have come, because they're real familiar with Samuel, know that if you don't laugh at his weird jokes, he will say, well, I thought that was funny, or something like that. He kind of makes a big deal of it. So humor him. And last thing is, spirit doesn't have a gender. It certainly doesn't have a brogue. Spirit doesn't require transformational channeling. It doesn't. But Samuel chooses those things to give us something to connect to, that we can relate to. So, I think it was probably 40 years ago, I had come back from a sneaky trip to Texas where I was raised like the cows in the field, right? Where I grew up, because it was going to be a free trip with a couple of new friends to visit. They were going further south to have a meditation sort of conference, which was very new back then. I mean, where were you 40 years ago? What were your thoughts doing? What was happening for you? Well, for me, I was a 20-something, and I guess if I mark 40 years, I was a 29-year-old who grew up Southern Baptist. And I know this is gonna sound kind of weird, I had been very, very involved in youth groups, and this youth group was associated with a particular Bible college. And while I truly loved that community, it wasn't the life for me. Unfortunately, I didn't learn that until later, but I didn't really know what was the life for me, because I'm here to tell you that with a Bible college education, you probably aren't going to have a whole lot of career choices in front of you. Especially if you move to Central Kentucky, which I did. And I've got to say, Central Kentucky blew me away. I was actually traveling through elsewhere, and it was springtime in Kentucky. And I grew up in San Antonio, which is South Texas. I had never seen anything like Kentucky in the springtime. Well, actually, I had had very little springtime because the college I went to was in South Florida, so, you know, hurricanes I knew, but flowers and trees that flower, yeah. I also didn't grow up with the kind of allergies that all those beautiful flowers give you. But anyway, so I was kind of in an odd sort of place of not really knowing what I wanted to do with my life. And I met these friends, and they were going through San Antonio, and I said, can I hitch a ride? They were going in their RV. There are its own stories for that. And so I called my mom, and my mom said, oh, I want to do that too. Because even when I was a little kid, she used to say that there were just really magical things about me and things I knew. And basically, I was a weird kid. But I firmly believe you probably were too, or you probably wouldn't be here right now. So, you know, weird kid club right here. And she wanted to learn how to do this meditation that was supposed to help you focus so that you could, you know, like have prosperity and all those good things. And so I got back home and would sit in the living room with my husband and teach him how to relax like that. Teach him how to, you know, you kind of count down, and then the next thing you know, you're sort of like floating in space. And if you're anything like me, when you're floating like that, you sort of forget what you're saying. And one of those times, I did that and opened my eyes and said, sorry, forgot what I was saying. And Frank had a kind of strange look on his face, and he said, you're not going to believe this. It took about 6 months for my little Southern Baptist self to quit thinking I was a demon possessed. And it took continual testing by me and seeing the result of Samuel talking to people. The first thing I did was call my best friend, and I said, something very strange had happened, and she was the only airy-fairy kind of person I knew, which is how I thought of it at the time. And she said, This is called channeling. I'd never heard of channeling. And I said, well, let's see if it happens again. And it did. And when Frank first met Samuel, and if you listen to the real early tapes, and many of you have, it is really hard to understand Samuel. His brogue is so thick, and his language was filled with words that weren't English. Turned out, of course they weren't, they were Gaelic, but we didn't know that. So you see, that's even worse for me. I'm demon possessed and speaking in tongues. It's like, could it get worse? And my friend Gwen was totally blown away. And she said, can we invite another friend? And very quickly, our little living room filled up because Samuel said, how many of you remember the movie Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Well, he said something sort of like that. If you open the door, I'll be there. And he has. Now, way back in that day, my friend had a really dear visitor from Britain come, and he listened to Samuel and said, I know exactly where he's from. Because he had a very distinct dialect. But that isn't how he sounds now. He sounds very Texas Scottish. It's kind of odd because over all these years, I mean, he uses my brain. Come on, this is what I sound like. So it's probably a Texas Scottish Kentucky kind of thing. I don't think you'll find it hard. Another thing is he has really slowed down how he talks to ensure that people can understand him. And that helps a lot too. Again, if you listen to the early tapes, it doesn't. Well, anyway, back to it. So we filled up our living room at our little house on Preston Court. And we moved houses thinking we will be able to meet here because this is a big house and we'll meet here. And we very quickly grew out of that house. I think Laura was at the big house, right? On Kentucky Avenue? Yeah. So we know Laura from way back. And when we grew out of that house, we moved to the Unitarian Church. Yes. Mm-hmm. And somewhere around there, we bought a building. We created a community that we called it this because Samuel named it, Phoenix Institute, which is the community of people that have, well, I say open minds and open hearts and want to connect because it makes such a difference in our lives to have that. Over the years, Samuel has kept his promise. He's very, very clear that his work is not with beginners. So while you may think you're learning something new. He also says that's not his job. He's not teaching you anything. He's reminding you of what you already know. He teaches the same thing all the time, with different perspectives and words. And that message is basically like the way he started the last First Sunday meeting. You are a function of Source in this world. And the function of Source you are is love. And you are here to live love. And because that isn't as easy as it sounds, who would have thunk? He gives us a lot of very practical, helpful tips about how to deal with the things that show up in our lives as we're trying to live love. There are people all over the world who know and love Samuel. We have had the wonderful experiences of sharing Samuel all over the world. Haven't been to Antarctica. I hope we never do. I am not a fan of cold. Central Kentucky is about as cold as I ever want to be. I am truly blessed and really delighted and honored to be able to share with you, Samuel. And I feel very drawn to add to this. Welcome home. You know him. Thank you for this. As we say in my household, adi yo yo. Oh, yeah. It's going to look like I'm falling asleep. This process is much faster than it used to be. Much faster. I take two or three breaths, and for me, it is like going to sleep. And then I wake up, and it's like when you wake up after surgery, and you're kind of like, ooh, that was nice. But you really don't know everything you told the surgeon while you were under. And you're not real sure, you know, how everything went. That's me. So, anything?
No.
We love you, Lee.
Oh, thank you. I love you too. Can you guys think of anything else?
Turn off your cell phones.
Yes, please turn off your cell phone. Good thinking, Kathy.
With the Greece event, last I heard it was 90% full. What's this?
Yeah. I don't know.
We have maybe 5 or 6 spaces available, so. What Jim's talking about is next year Samuel will be taking your
group. Wait. Okay. How about I leave while you tell me?
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And thank you all, first of all, for wearing masks. Lee is on immunosuppressant medication, so she's highly vulnerable to not only COVID, but every germ out there, so we really appreciate it. We know it's so 2020. But next year, Samuel is going to be taking a group to Greece for a trip that's going to be, I think, 12 nights, 13 days. It has a week-long Greek cruise on a private charter boat. So you can find out information about that on discoversamuel.com. And just also to say that all of our meetings now are virtual on Zoom. This is only the third in-person meeting we've had since 2020. So this is really rare, and that's why we're so excited about it. And now Samuel's here. We can talk more later.
I don't know. I kind of like hearing you. Feel free. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to invite people to come to we have meetings the first Sunday of every month. They're free. They're on Zoom. They're amazing. And you can find out information at discoversamuel.com or phoenixinstitute.org. And I'll be here, of course, afterwards. We can talk if you want.
And we have something every Sunday, too.
Yes, every Sunday. We have discussions about Samuel's teachings. We have socials. We have, you name it. We're a community, so. Yeah, you're all welcome.
Slight commercial interruption there. So how are you?
Been challenged the last few days, but...
it's a pretty wild time, isn't it?
It is a wild time.
Aye.
Yes, indeed.
You managing all right?
Well, the key thing is to see the big picture and to know that everything ultimately is fine, and having that universal perspective makes all the difference. And what seemed like challenges today or yesterday in 1 month or 1 year, I won't be able to remember. So that's the key thing, is perspective.
Don't forget. Do not forget. That you are a healer, physician, heal
thyself. Thank you.
I appreciate that. So, what a wonderful opportunity this is. I am absolutely overjoyed to be able to see you. Not in a box this big. To see your energy as it bounces off the walls. I'm so, so very grateful to have this chance. It's freeing. I'm seeing faces I haven't seen in lifetimes. Needless to say, months. All right. The first thing that I want to say is you are amazing. And you are living in a world that teaches you not to believe that. You're living in a society in which the standards of your amazing self are based on, honestly, things that just don't matter all that much in that big picture. You are awake. That doesn't mean woke. Although most of you are that too. You are awake and living in a magical time on your world. And I'm going to push the envelope just a bit here to say that the only reason you are in this room is because you are also activated. Now that's not like you're a Russian spy that has been planted since childhood and you got the code word and now you're activated into your great mission. Although it kind of is a whole lot like that. Well, it is, isn't it? As I was saying it, I thought, I kind of is that, actually. You are activated by your awareness. At the level of the frequency in which you function at this time. You are activated having come here purposefully. And that's, for some of you, the worst news I could give all day. Purposefully? What are you talking about? I would never choose all this. Except, guess what? And the very, very, very brief version of that is once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away. Oh, more than that, a universe far, far away. Oh, more than that, a density far, far away, a dimensional structure far, far away. Once upon a time, long, long ago, back in the source field, an idea was put forth. What about an experiment to see if it's possible for these newly, and I'm going to say evolved, most of you know that there was a little help in that process, function of life force can be evolved through spirit functioning in form as love. And first one person stepped up and said, hey, I can support that. I'll go. And a few more popped up their hands and said, I'll go. And they are the Gerhills. Those who have come here through birth until the last transition. To hold source love in their lives, to guide and guard life force, which is why I call them guardians. Into a higher function of being. The tricky part is taking the dive in means forgetting what you truly are. And that's risky. There are many guardians in this world who have not awakened. Needless to say, activated. Not for lack of trying. Generally, due to resistance, drink the Kool-Aid. And their version of themselves is their success in the world. It's on who they are and not what they are. And it's kind of hard to activate when your whole being is about who you are in the world. Nonetheless, across this world, many have awakened. And over the last few years, now I should warn you, I'm pretty bad with time, because I tend to be a little on the geologic side of it. However, the last few years, particularly the last couple of years, things have been dramatically changing. Now, let's not put monkeys in this illustration, all right? But how many of you are familiar with an illustration that is usually referenced as 100 monkeys? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Good. I like to think of it as 100 guardians instead. And that is, there comes a point in which a knowing moves into mass consciousness. But it requires guardians to reach a particular and unfortunately very high frequency for that to happen. And the good news is it has happened. Your whole planet has moved to fifth density. And I can explain that, or better, have you explain that when I take questions in a bit. But it has required 100 monkey guardians. As opposed to guardian monkeys, which is very different. Reaching a particular level of understanding. And that's really very much to say my job is almost over. Because my job has been to gently, carefully wake you up! And kindly pat you on the back and kick you off the cliff. You're not meant to be a monk on the mountain. You're not meant to be alone in this. What you are together is so much greater than what 18 months ago you were alone. And I'm going to throw that sentence in again. You are not meant to do it alone. So stop it. What you do together is so much greater than what you can do alone. I know that the world is exponentially, but I've got a doctor up here, so I'm going to say your love titers up. Everything that is going on in the world. All right, quick visual. Please know this is absolutely inaccurate, but it's a great visual. Imagine that you're on this lovely planet, swimming through space-time. And it is a lovely planet, and you are swimming through space-time. And far out in the distance, beyond Pluto, who either is or is not a planet again now. It's kind of hard to keep up with. But truthfully, dimensionally speaking, way beyond Pluto. But wave after wave of creation intent is being put into the world. All the worlds, everything. The intent to create, quick aside, is in you. Part of what made you such an obnoxious little kid. Always is into something. Yes, I am talking about you. The intent to create, as another aside, means that human creativity, in whatever form it might take, is very much a doorway for spirit to you. Now, for some of you that might be dance, and for some of you that is design, and for some of you that is writing, and for some of you that, well, you know, even medical work is a creative function. It's a very intuitive process. All of that information is stuffed in, never enough. Experience is added, and from that combination, a new creation is possible. 2 + 2 = 5. In my math. Your creativity is very important. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm not a creative person at all, you are limiting your definition of creative. And again, stop it. Because the intent to create, the creator function, has been the main function of growth in this world for 4 or 5 Earths, depending upon how you would count it. And that creator function shows up first in Gurdjieff. And if you give yourself a moment to look back on your life, you will realize whether you want to or not that you are a very natural leader. Things you do, you start seeing in the world. That's not confirmation bias. That's the nature of your energy, because you've been awakened to it since birth. Now, so much to teach about that, not where I'm going. I'll just say, I'm very grateful that you said yes, because it's hard to be human. When there is a piece of you that knows you're not. It's hard to be human when there is a part of you that doesn't agree with what the world feeds you. Because one of the worst things you can do, as far as this world is concerned, is be different. And you've been different for 90 years. You've been different for lifetimes. You've been different since you had enough brain to remember yesterday. Then you get to the end of the life and you go back to not remembering yesterday. Or maybe that's just the form, I'm not sure. The experiment is based on living love. And that is your Achilles heel. Samael, wait a minute. You've been saying all these really nice things about how we're right in tune with all of this energy and we're good beings of light and love and blah, blah, blah. What the heck? Now you're saying, why? Somebody tell me.
Because we live in a world with other people in circumstances.
We live in.
And it takes conscious intent too.
We live in a world with other people and circumstances. And it takes conscious, key word there, effort to not fall into what has been a security-based system, also known as a fear-based system, for eons. It's very easy to get so caught up that you teach yourself not to know what you know already. And to fear what's happening. And as I said earlier, to drink the Kool-Aid. And there's a lot of Kool-Aid out there. And the fear-based system teaches people that there is such a thing as love, but it does not have 1,000 different varieties. And it doesn't change things. And that you need to seek security first, and perfection second. It never tells you you are already perfect, and there is nothing to fear because you're sitting in the middle of your own universe that you created, so that your life would be filled with reminders to put love to it. Mm-hmm. Nothing fills the void but love. And the most important love is the hardest, because it's learning to love yourself. Now, in a world that teaches you to fear, and a world that teaches you that who you are doesn't really matter in the great 1% scheme of things in this society, it's very, very easy to not love you, but you know the rule. You cannot give what you do not have. You know the spoon theory?
Yeah.
Right?
The theory of having enough spoons to handle things.
Right.
Yes. And if you drop too many of them, you can't handle anything.
This is actually a metaphor that I have only recently heard about, truly. And that is, say every day you're given 12 spoons, and everything that you do costs you some spoons. And if you get to the end of the day without spoons, but you're not quite finished showing the world that you're perfect and can do everything, then you start taking spoons from tomorrow. And the thing about it is that people really believe that everything is limited and there are not enough spoons for all that must be done. And that is a sign of not loving yourself. Because where there is fear, there is not love. And fear of missing out, of not having enough spoons, of having to do every little thing yourself. Spooning up this ease. And truly, dysfunction. And very definitely, a lack of love. You are a function of Source in this world. And that creation intent of the full energetic principle that underlies this creation is love, which is to say you are a function of Source love. I have said that for many years, haven't I? Mm-hmm. And do you know that even now that's coming home to roost? It's all right, she gets it, awake or no. You know, darling, I think it might be helpful if you removed your mask. I promise you, the farm's not going to get anything big, and you will breathe better, and that matters. Not you, Kathy.
No, I'm not. I was just adjusting my face.
There is nothing out here that is greater than what you are in here, working with others who have the same purpose. And what is that purpose?
Live love.
To show that love works. And for those who have been aware over the last 18 months, the last 6 months, the last 6 weeks, you have been seeing more love anchoring into this well than ever before. Now, you have also been seeing the old paradigms holding on for dear life. Don't change anything. Greed and the love of power. Use fear to keep greed and the love of power strong. But you are seeing changes, aren't you? And you are going to continue seeing changes. What is the number of today?
17.
17, all right. In a couple of days, be careful holding you to days. Maybe we should say within a week, more or less. Yes, those who are most familiar with how I work are up here chuckling because they know I'm not really great at time. Like this past week, you are going to be seeing massive shifts in consciousness.
Yay.
And any shift shows up very large amounts of resistance and fear. And the world is going to do what it can to not lose a single indentured servant. I know that's harsh, but it's what society needs to keep going in the direction that it is. You've been getting Kool-Aid since you were a baby. And lately, you've been saying more and more, I don't like this stuff. I don't want any more of this stuff. I'm ready for something else. And because this universe loves you so much, it puts right in front of you exactly what you need to bring about the changes in your life that will stop your own resistance, that will allow you to quit doing this. That helps you come to respect and truly love you. To respect and truly love you. I could talk to you for days about unintended childhood trauma that shows up as somewhat dysfunctional adults. But guardians have that. And yes, some of you got intended childhood trauma. And I'm really sorry about that. I will just throw it there because I'm very rude sometimes that children choose the parents. But and older siblings. Oh no! Those things become the fiber that holds you up in the world. And it's very scary when it starts breaking down. And it breaks down first in guardians. Whoo, Samuel, you just really do a lot to make guardians sound like a fun way to live a life. Because you show what you know in your life. You teach what you know. And the unique experiences have brought about a unique perspective. That by the attraction principle. I would never call it that, but apparently some of you do call it that, so there you go. The force that you draw to you power of what you draw to you that gives you your unique audience and message. It's the power of your magnetism that draws what is like you and what you need to do what you're here to do. Looking across this room, and for those of you who can see energy, stop for a moment and look around, because there is some beautiful rainbow effects going on around this room. Some very nice light. And somebody back there cheering us on, I guess.
Hey, I was taking a picture.
Samuel, do you mean our energies working together or just a light filtering in?
Nee, I mean your energies in this room. you affect everything and everyone around you. And the more you are onto you, aware of you, the more you're going to find that the universe dumps into your lap opportunities to do more. And you move from what am I supposed to be doing to learning to discern how much you can do and if you should do it. That's what guardians go through. And yes, sometimes love is saying no. It's not always saying yes. Surveys needs to also be to yourself. And sometimes that means saying no. But over the last year, particularly, as energy has been shifting, you've been finding yourself questioning. And this is right on cue. This is good. Questioning what do I believe? What do I want? And as trite as this is going to sound, who the heck am I in this world? You have been put in positions that have required you to refocus. Even your holy angelic self has had to create new definitions of what matters. Of what you're about, of who you are. And what you are. And even for those of you that I have been talking to as long as I've been talking through this form, even those of you who have a whole new definition of life and love and purpose and have had for many years, you have been, I was about to say, experiencing the change. But I'm pretty sure that has more to do with sweating a lot than it does with where I'm going, right?
Yes.
You've been having to evaluate your journey. And that is what your world is going to be experiencing, and in small ways has been experiencing. But you get it first, aren't you lucky? You get it first because your frequency started out functioning at a higher level. Now that's not higher level, like, ooh, I'm better than you. It actually is kind of a difficulty. Because human nature is a herd animal and pretty much a prey herd animal. I'm not saying prey driven. Humans aren't naturally the lion. I won't define what they are more naturally. But in the old fables, they plucked out the thorn in the lion's paw.
Okay.
And that need to not change. To not let it be known that you don't fit, believe in, care about the status quo. It's an incredibly hard one to move beyond. And you have, many of you, have gone through hell and back. Sometimes very literally. To come to a place of peace and love with yourself. And now it's time to gather and give. You have spent years renewing, recreating. Now gather and give. And I'm not saying the kind of give that buys me a new private jet. That was rude, sorry. I mean, gather what you have learned and know so that the next time the odd person in the grocery line starts telling you their life story, you don't just politely listen and run away. You know what to do. What to say, how to help. You know open heart surgery? It's a very odd thing. The good news is it's not needed nearly as much as it was at one time. It's not as drastic as it was at one time. But nevertheless, I want you to think about fully opened sternum, put on a bypass machine, literally. See, this is what happens when I don't give you breaks. Should have warned you about that. Bodies rule, yay! It's a pretty bloody gory thing. And you know, you pretty much kill somebody to bring them back to life, don't you? And that's what the world's new energy is doing. It's putting forth the frequencies of what many, many people in your own lives are going to find as much of a shock, as bloody and gory as open heart surgery, because really that's what it is. Hearts, hey, are kind of being forced open around you. And for some of you, within you, in those areas that have not been opened before. Guardians are spiritual surgeons. Not the, I've got a few chicken gizzards in the back of my hand and I'm going to pretend that I've opened you up and pulled out the evil within you. I hope that was very last century. But those who know how to help a heart that's been broken open, be it your own or another's, because my sweet love, the good news and the bad news is you are here for one thing. And it's not to be the best doctor or lawyer or environmentalist or whatever label you've let the world put on you. And hopefully have figured out real quick isn't you. You are here to share, to give the love that you are with words and action. And that is the hardest job. Now, every parent in here says, Samael, that's not the hardest job. Yes, it actually is. Because before you can do that, you must love yourself. And even the highest frequencies in this room have corners of their heart that are still broken. And you call it frustration, occasional anger, but it's all right. Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, so you know. It's okay to be angry. You hoard life because you're not living it. And you're here to live it. And by your living it, you become the teacher, the way shower, the light that guides hearts. Maybe not mine. But that mind part, those are challenges you've been working with. You have seen your country and there are those of you from all over this country right now. You have seen your world. Rocked by change. The unthinkable for America is being normalized. It's the Kool-Aid. And you, my dear friend, have choices in front of you because of that. I would encourage you to work to cut off the supply rather than trying to, what do you call it when you take small bits of poison accommodating the whole. Say it again.
Microdose.
Yes, actually that's a good one. Microdosing and becoming very used to the way the world works and accepting that as normal. Don't do it. Society as a whole is waking up and activating. And the old paradigms are fighting back and making status, money, all the more important. The old paradigms of who you are and the magical tricks of distraction look over there while I break stuff up over here. That will be seen very clearly. These next few months, And I'm not referring to the election that Americans have coming up. That's just a piece of it. It is vital. It is vital that two things are adjusted in your personal world. Before these changes are in full effect. And my darlings, the bad news is those major energy changes started a few days ago and they are going to continue onward. You are in it now. Corporations, banking, education, technology, the way you work, why you work, if you work. And that's in any area of your life. Don't just think career models. Income and outflow. Are already being threatened for almost everyone in your world. Two things. I'm going to switch up for a moment. Tell me what you think those two things are. Just pop out. Pretend you're on Zoom and you just push the space bar. Oh, I think Stuart told me that doesn't work for everybody. What two things rock your world? What one thing? And then if two people talk, we'll have two things.
Security.
Security, absolutely. Good.
Fear.
Fear, unfortunately. Aye.
Greed.
Greed, yes. Greed. Don't.
I was going to say finances that are going to be, need to be adjusted. Putting our resources to things that we want to support.
Nice.
Discernment.
Yes.
Help.
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 Health.
Physical.
Yes.
Primary relationship.
Absolutely. And the communication that comes with it. Or is needed with it.
Illusion.
Recognizing that it's an illusion.
That you're really not alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
A very vital aspect of making it through the rest of your life when there is a massive energy change is not having to do it alone. Not having to do it alone. Your individuation is a powerful thing. Your individuated unity is more so. You're not alone. And the second thing that is absolutely a necessary part of helping this world change over is old news. I've said it multiple times this morning. Learning to love. Love yourself. To love yourself. Because those are the two things that are going to bring about peaceful change. Because your world is in security mode. And all the herd animal instincts are coming up. The fear. The need. To perfectly do it on your own. And the choice to put on the blinkers. What do you call these on the horse?
Blinders.
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 Ooh, that's even better, isn't it? To put on the blinders so that you can confuse that with the very spiritual, not being affected by the world. No. You get smack dab in the middle of it. And love it. Everything you do, everything you are, you love it. If you like tattoos, it says, love all, always. But another very effective version of it is just put a rubber band around you, and whenever you're in one of those challenging, isn't that such a nice new age word? We're there. My world's not falling apart, I just have a few challenges.
You just bad language.
Right. You just pop that rubber band and you remember love through this. Everybody you have put into your world, the person sitting next to you, the person behind you in line at the theater, whatever it is that you do these days, everybody is drawn to you honestly. A disgusting but very accurate illustration, like a moth to a flame. Can't help it. Can't help it. Because you have something unique to offer. And it may not come packaged in a precisely holy way, but I will promise you it is more holy than anything this world can bring to you. you are that love. And you are remembering it more every day. And as you remember, you uncover the soot, the ash that has been covering your light like dirty headlights on your car. Have you ever cleaned them off real well and suddenly, whoa, I see a lot better now, eh? That's you. You are the brightest light in someone's world, and you are every day uncovering your superpowers to be able to give more, to do more, to love more. And one of the superpowers is seeing beyond this world. The farm loves dogs, which are great. And you know, dogs, if you can see it, the dog can smell it, right? They see the world in a very different way. So do guardians. And the more you love yourself, the higher frequency you work at, and the higher frequency you work at, the more you see the world in a different way. Preach it. I met you, actually, preaching. This is not the time to close it down, to give up or give out. You are living in the time you came here for. All of you. No outs here. Not a one. And you know what the best news is? You've got it. You have what you need to do and be what you are here to do and be. And you know it and you feel it. And you're not real sure what to do with it. But don't worry. Because when the universe sees an opening, and you create that opening by saying, all right, universe, I'm here to live love, I'll do it. Things start dropping into your lap, don't they? Pretty soon you're saying, all right, universe, that's enough. I'm going to start learning discernment here, learning how to say no. Stuart, what's happening with the time?
We have about 15 minutes left.
Good. Shift. Shake. And move your hands and feet if you can. Take a good couple of deep breaths. And ask. Kathy.
This is a question from last Sunday. Should I stand up and...
Can you hear? Would it hear better? Would you hear? Why am I doing this, Stuart?
I'm not sure.
All right. Oh, I know why. Because I'm sitting on it. Yeah. The farm's body really heats up when I'm here. And it kind of makes havoc with the electronics.
Please stand up.
Good, thank you. Yes, please.
Should I keep my mask
off? No, you should take the mask off to talk, or they're going to...
Keep distance from
me. They're going to hear. Oh.
So, last Sunday you talked about different new facets of love being in the world now. And I was wondering if you could talk about those new facets of love and what they are and how they look.
One of them is destruction. Samael? How the heck is destruction a function of love? Remember perspective. In order for the new to be built, the old must pass away. Releasing the old means letting go of what does not serve, but you know what else it means? It means letting go of what always served before. It's being willing to release what does not work in your life and allow what does into your life. And that takes amazing amounts of love and bravery. Say that word for me.
Bravery.
That one. That. Massive amount. Destruction is what you're going to see a tremendous amount of. Acceptance and heightened communication in arenas that are really just out of this world. Yes, that is what I'm saying. Jerry says, I knew it!
We didn't hear it.
Define it more clearly.
What's it look like?
What does it look like?
It looks like science being rebuilt. It looks like technological advances. It looks like seeing truth without fear. But that doesn't mean without resistance. you're going to see love in new ways, new definitions, new kinds of relationships being fully accepted. Mainly because you're going to see people dealing enough with their own stuff that they don't have to get into yours to help them avoid their own. Big time. You're going to see you're going to take off the rose-colored glasses. And be strong enough to live in what is. And help it change. Are you asking a question?
Just a question. You know, when you talk about destruction, it brings up a concern for me. But I think what you're saying is we need to destroy what was built because what has been built is only benefiting a privileged few.
True, but I need you, very, very accurate, but I need you to personalize that. Because when somebody comes into your neighborhood and knocks a building down.
They did that. They did that 3 doors up the street from me.
It affects, right, everything. So, yes, while it's absolutely accurate that the old paradigms are what has to come down, it's also very much that it has a very strong ripple effect. Doesn't I see a hand back there? Yes, I did.
You stated that we need to know that we're not having to do this alone.
That's right.
And I'm almost 100 years old now, and I recognize the fact that there's been a lot of Kool-Aid consumed. So when I leave out of here and make my way back to my activities and so on, how will I be able to recognize who some of those other persons are that we can work with?
Yes. That is my favorite question. Because I will tell you always, if it's not practical, it's worthless. There's a lot of mental masturbation going on with regard to the functions of spirit in this world. But if it's not practical, it's not worthwhile. All right, two things. One of them is a kind of vague version. You are going to find yourself drawn. I will say drawn to love. But you might say somebody or something. But you're going more than ever before feel that connection. And unfortunately, I am sitting back sort of chuckling at this one. They may have no idea that there is a connection there. And for a while, you're going to be finding yourself dealing with a whole lot of people coming into your life who have broken hearts and need some open heart surgery. Drama. But teaching yourself to be sensitive to it is important. Second thing, take out of your vocabulary. I made that up. Please. Maybe you did make it up. But the more you allow yourself to recognize your innate knowing, intuition, whatever you want to call it, being psychic or psychotic or something in that line, allow yourself, well, all right, don't allow yourself to be psychotic. That can be pretty antisocial. But allow yourself to fine tune your senses. And what you're going to be finding is that cat that hangs out with you, because cats only hang out with you because they want to. A dog hangs out with you because it needs to, but a cat that hangs out with you, he actually is talking to you. Don't turn it off with, I must be making that up. Don't surprise yourself. Now, you might not want to discuss that with your significant people for a while, but every one of you, each of you, is an animal communicator, is a healer, of course, all to different extents, is a clairvoyant, is a function of all that is. And you have come equipped with what is needed to reach into it. Where is the world right now in 2024? 4 years ago, more or less, the animal and plant kingdoms woke up in a very different way. Practice your intuition within and eradicate from your vocabulary, I think I made this up. Until your neighbors start thinking, good grief, she goes out there talking to herself all the time. Until you're having conversations. Next. The more you love, the more you put out love, the more love you are able to put into you. The more you allow yourself to love others, the more you begin to love yourself. And right along with that comes good old gratitudes Gratitudes are one of the most significant life changes you can make in the journey toward loving yourself. And it's not only, I am so grateful to the elemental forces of this world, I am so grateful. No, it's not just that. Every day, stop and write down 10 different things you love about yourself. Write it down because that's the power of three. Ten things every day, because you are forced to see yourself differently. There are some in here, I have given that exercise before, and they will tell you it's shocking what a difference it makes.
Yes.
To the whole way you see your world and yourself within it. Get that tattoo, that rubber band, that way of seeing, the reminder to love all. That's the ants invading your house. That's the mosquitoes chewing on your neck, sucking your blood. That's the person driving 10 miles below the speed limit right in front of you after they pulled out right in front of you. I won't do it again. The more you love yourself, the more you see the world differently. One more thing. Please do what you can not to believe the messages put out in the world. Now, this is going to sound kind of conspiracy-ish, but really, in the United States, you have six corporations owning all your news. And even they will tell you that it's news entertainment, not the latest, I don't know, world crises. That does get sprinkled in there, but please, try a fast from news and social medias that work on bringing out the fear. Do what you can to eliminate fear-based functions in your life. And my love, every time you do that, you are pecking through that eggshell a little more to become your truest self. beating out of that chrysalis to become your truest self. And those are simple versions. Don't give up. Don't stop. Be your most loving self. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. It will kill you. And remember, you are a function of Source love in this world. No matter the other labels that you wear, your truest essence is love. It really, really is all there is. How many of you have been on a skateboard? Most of you. Good for you.
Not lately.
That's what these next few weeks are going to be like. Be careful of the curbs.
And the brakes and the pavement.
Hey. They they are helpful. Louise is looking to move out of the aisle. That's good. Good job. Do not forget that you are a function of love and you are here to love. You have everything you need already. And this time, right now, is about remembering that. Help each other. And honestly, try it, but love one another. Become the light of love that clears out the shadows, and that every day in every way reminds you that love is all that matters. You've been patient. You have been sitting there for so long that you're joints are locking up and your bottom is hurting. I'm proud of you.
We could go another hour.
Some of you are gluttons for punishment, but that tends to be the front couple of rows. I love you because you are love and I am love. And love is all there is. I love you because I know you. No. I know what you really are. And I don't forget that. And if you ever wondered you really are my favorite. Just don't tell. Look in the mirror, my friends. Thank you. Thank you, dear Regina. Thank you.